You're listening to What She Said, a podcast for bloggers and creatives hosted by me, Lucy Sharif, a freelance journalist living in London. Each week, I interview different women in blogging and the online world, getting their best blogging tips and advice and a little bit of gossip too. Thanks for listening. Welcome to another episode of What She Said. This week I chat to Kate Ferris from Simple and Season. She is hands down one of the most laser focused people I've ever met in a really good way. She's a blogger, she's a marketing specialist, and she also coaches bloggers and creatives. She decided she was sick of her day job and gave herself 18 months to quit it. And go freelance. She managed to do it in 6 months, which is super impressive. So she's kind of my hero. She's got the most beautiful Instagram feed, which I love. And her simple lifestyle blog, Simple and Season, is packed to the brim with slow living inspiration and practical tips for creatives. We had a really, really great, super honest chat about cutting loose blogs that aren't working anymore, cultivating community, and starting with the end in mind. She's really, really honest, and there's no BS with her. I'm going to say BS because I want this podcast to be clean. I want this podcast episode to be finally rated clean, which I think it is. So if you want to learn how to sell without feeling gross, or you need a bit of a boost of focus and creativity, this is the episode for you. Enjoy. Oh, so welcome to the podcast.
Lovely, thank you. Great to be here.
For anybody that doesn't know you, do you want to just introduce yourself and explain a little bit of your blogging journey to where you are today?
Sure. So I'm Kate and I blog at simpleandseason.com. I'm not really sure where to start with my blogging journey. There's kind of been various phases. So I know when I was at university, it was all, if you want to be a writer, you have to blog and you have to write. So I kind of started a blog, but that nobody ever saw and I never really wrote on. And then that kind of stopped for a couple of years. And then in the middle of last year, I started another blog. And it was a very similar pattern where I didn't really let anyone read it. And the content wasn't stuff that I was really enjoying. So that fizzled out as well. But I was reading a lot of blogs and it was just something that kind of never went away. So I started Simple and Season in September last year. Yeah. September 2016. So yeah, not even a year old. I'm actually quite surprised at how well I've committed to it. And that was kind of like my theme for this year was commitment to purpose, because that's something I kind of jump around projects a lot and I just wanted to commit to stuff this year. So I actually have, which is good.
So it's not even a year old. That's incredible. And so Simple and Season is your third blog.
Yes.
Is that correct?
But I mean, it's really my first blog because the other ones weren't even proper.
Yes. It's the first one that you've released to the public.
Yeah.
what made the other two blogs that you kind of gave up on? What was different about Simple and Season?
I think it was what I was doing with content and how I was aiming it. So the sort of second blog I had, I think I was reading the wrong blogs. I wasn't reading blogs that kind of appealed to me. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of thinking, well, this is what a blog is. And I was writing content and I was like, gosh, I'm not even enjoying writing it. I'd never read it. Mm. And like, this is just not fun.
Yeah, I think so many of us do that though, don't we? Because you write what you know. So if you're that's why one of the things that everybody, I think I would always say to everybody who's blogging, is just read lots, read wide as well, because you tend to emulate what you know, especially to start off with, till you find your own voice.
Yeah, definitely. So I was kind of like one of the kind of founding principles, for want of a better phrase, for Simple and Season was that everything has to go through a kind of would I read this filter. And if it's something like, oh, I had a nice lunch, then yeah, that's not gonna get through the filter.
Yeah. So when you started Simple a Season, did you already know, had you already got in your mind, okay, I've been writing content that I don't particularly like, this is actually what I want to be writing? Had you essentially found your voice before you started the blog?
Probably not my voice, I don't think. I had thought a bit more about it. So rather than thinking, I want to start a blog and leaving it at that, I'd been reading a lot more blogs. And blogs in the niche that I wanted to be in. And I think I just had a better idea of what I wanted it to be, more specifically, other than a blog. So my voice has definitely developed over time, but the also so is the content, as it happens. But at the beginning point, I knew who I was looking up to, who my inspirations were, what I wanted my niche to be. And I was very kind of focused on what this blog was going to be rather than it being quite open-ended.
Yeah, so you already had kind of an end point in mind.
Not an end point at the point I'm at now. Yeah. It's kind of changed. But yeah, I knew I wanted it to be. I knew that I didn't know where I wanted it to take me kind of career-wise or anything like that, but I knew what I wanted it to look like and I knew what it wanted to sound like.
That's really interesting. So that leads us on to what is it that you wanted it to sound like and look like, and what did you want out of your blog when you started it?
At the time, because I was working a marketing job, but it kind of turned into not so much of a marketing job. I was doing a lot of kind of operations stuff and I was really missing the creativity. And that's kind of why I started the blog at that time, was because it was sort of an outlet to do something creative. And also because I was just coming home from work and then sitting on the sofa and watching TV and then going to bed. That was like my routine. So that was kind of why I started the blog. And then I just wanted it to kind of, I don't want to get like a pair of free shoes. Because I'd been talking to people, I can't remember who it was. It was somebody who worked for an agency that our company used. And she had a blog and she'd had some free shoes. And I was like, that is the coolest thing. So I was like, oh, that would be so great if maybe one day I could get a free thing. And I know that's not like very, I know probably a lot of people in the blogging world are like, oh, you should do it for the love of it. You should
do it. But I think it's
free stuff.
I think it's really great that you've said that, because a lot of people, a lot of people want that and they probably don't admit it, because actually, you know what, getting something free, it's not just about getting the thing that's free. It feels like a bit of it's exciting that first
time. And it's validation.
But yeah, of course, like, you're not going to be able to survive just on free shoes alone, but that in itself, I think it's good that you've said that.
Yeah, and I think that kind of shows that even from the beginning, it wasn't a hobby blog. It has, and I'm saying this with hindsight now, because at the time I probably didn't think it, but it was never just going to be something I did on the side.
Yeah, your intention was already set from the start.
Yeah, whether I knew it or not.
Exactly, yes. So, probably going back to your earlier blogs, what were the stumbling blocks you found? Because clearly you had stumbling blocks in the beginning because you didn't even need to share them with anybody. And then that's led you to, when you got to Simple and Season, you have so much focus, laser focus, I would say.
Yeah.
What were those stumbling blocks?
Mainly it was people I knew already knowing that I was doing it. Yeah, so I didn't change my Instagram handle for the previous blog or anything like that, or put a link in the bio.
Why?
Because, yeah, I didn't want people, my friends to know.
Why didn't you want them to know? Because interestingly that you say this, someone else, a former coaching client, was really struggling with this also.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I'm quite private anyway, and I like to keep my cards close to my chest, and I'm quite a big introvert as well, so I don't like putting myself out there as me.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, before it had all just been Kate Ferris as the name, was, I think that's what helped for Simple and Caesar, is it was like a name to hide behind initially. I do use my own name more across Twitter and stuff now. Oh, sorry, can you hear my dog barking?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, the postman's just arrived, I think. that was it, really. I just kind of, and I think maybe it was the stage of life I was at the time, where maybe I just wasn't feeling as confident in myself and stuff.
Yeah.
And then something must have happened over the course of the next 6 months where I kind of got over that.
I mean, I'm really surmising as an outsider on this, so I feel a bit like a stalker saying, I think I know what it might mean. But do you think Instagram helped?
Yes, definitely. Because for the first sort of 2 months or so of Simple and Season, I was basically just on Twitter because I'd been reading a lot about how to blog because, as I sort of said, I was wanting to take this one seriously and do it all properly in inverted commas. And everything I'd been reading was like, oh, bloggers have to be on Twitter. So I was just on Twitter. And the people I was meeting through the blogger Twitter chats and stuff there were all a very kind of very fashion-y, very beauty.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was kind of like, oh, I'm not sure if it's in here. I don't really know who's going to be reading what I'm putting out and stuff. And then I sort of went on to Instagram, and I'd never really used it as a user, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
Same stuff, really. I'd never used it as a civilian.
I know what you mean, yeah.
And so I wasn't really kind of au fait with the platform or anything like that. And I just started, because I'd been following Sarah Tasker's blog, because I was like, it's all about the blog. And then realised that, oh, she started on Instagram.
Wow, so you followed Sarah, who's, for the listeners, you'll know, because basically she's a friend of the podcast. Me and Orla is her blog. But you found her through the blog as opposed to through Instagram. Interesting.
Yeah, so before I started Simple and Season, I was just like Googling So I Live in Blogs, and she came up to me the first one. That's how I first found out about her. So yeah, I came to her through the blog, not through Instagram, which is probably the only person ever.
Well, yeah, potentially. No, there's probably I imagine she gets absolutely stacks of traffic, but it's interesting because obviously she's huge on Instagram.
Yeah.
But, so going back to, you mentioned slow living blogs, so that's your niche, right?
Yes, sort of. It's kind of transitioning a bit at the moment, but
But how do you sort of nail down your niche? Did you always know in your heart that was the thing that you were interested in? Is that how it came about, or
I think so. I've got to rack my brains now and try and remember what kind of mindset I was in at the time. I think I was at a stage where I was just very much at a kind of crossroads in life, and I knew I was sort of dissatisfied with it, and I was trying to think what I actually wanted my life to be like, because as I said, I was sort of just like whiling away my evenings just watching crap TV and like not doing anything with my life.
Yeah.
So I wanted to And slow living was kind of what I landed on because it really appeals to me because I'm quite old fashioned and old beyond my years. So that kind of slowness and like slow cooking and reading a lot and being at one with nature and walking and things like that, that's what really appealed to me. So that's why I kind of landed on that and as what I wanted the blog to be. I'm not really into beauty or fashion or anything like that, so it kind of seemed like the antithesis to those kind of blogs and stuff. So that's why I landed on slow living, and
because that's basically what you were living, aspiring to. I think
that was what I was aspiring to, and originally the blog was all about, if you're working the 9-to-5 like I was, it's how to bring that slow living into a fast life.
Yeah.
Great tagline.
I really like that, because I think so moving on to your transitioning, because obviously, so for anyone that doesn't know, Kate has moved to a ridiculously picture perfect cottage. It's so beautiful. I lust over it daily.
I need to do like an actual house tour, but yes. There are still boxes and stuff everywhere.
Oh my goodness, do it with the boxes though, because yeah. I'd love to see that. Do an Instagram live.
Oh God, I'm so scared. I've been considering it, doing an Instagram live, but I just worry that nobody will turn up.
Do you know what? I've done one, and it was, people just do turn up because it kind of there's a big push notification to all your followers, yeah. So people will. Do it.
Yeah, I have to do it.
If you're frightened of it, that means that you should do it.
Yeah, exactly. that's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. So, going back to Instagram, actually, because I'm quite interested in your community, because mm-hmm. Obviously I'll link to your social handles, etc. But I've found personally that Instagram is where my sort of tribe is.
Yeah.
And that's really been a game changer for me, and not necessarily in terms of traffic, because obviously there's only one place to put a link unless you've got a jazzy swipe up option, which most of us don't have.
I'm trying to get there.
No, tell me about it. But in terms of engagement and just nailing down who your people are, I think, mm-hmm. and also just a bit of the joy of it. I met you through Instagram. I've met lots of people that I chat to daily, and I check in with your stuff, and I kind of feel like I know you. And it's just been quite joyful for me. So how do you build community? How have you found that building community and engagement has, how have you done it? Tell us your secrets.
God, hello, we got. So, as I said, I was kind of working away on Twitter and stuff, and then kind of came over to Instagram. And I was like, oh, this is where all the people like me are. So that was quite an eye-opener, and it's something that I spoke about at my Blogtacular talk this year, and things about kind of, you've got to work out where your people are, because otherwise, like, this is like me having this, you have a conversation with someone else and me like standing in another room or something.
Yeah.
Like, you've got to be in the same room as the people you want to talk to.
That's a really good analogy, actually.
Yeah. Because otherwise a party's going on, you're just not there, and nobody notices that you're not there because they don't know you yet. So you've got to go be in the party. So building engagement on Instagram. So yeah, I had started Instagram in about October last year. And I had like 30 followers who were my friends and bots, I think, mainly. Then I had, before Christmas, I was under 1,000. And then since Christmas, I've had quite a lot of growth. And that has been down to hours, really. There's no quick fix with Instagram. So I probably spend about 2 hours a day engaging.
2 hours. So that's,
approximately on and off. So I'll post, and then there's a good solid hour of like going through all the hashtags I use. I like engage with the most recent posts with liking and commenting and stuff. And that usually takes about an hour. And then I've got a couple of comment pods, which are, I know, very controversial, but one of my comment pods.
We're in the same comment pod.
Yeah, we're in one comment pod, and then I've got another.
There's no shame in a comment
pod. Yeah. No, I think people are like, oh, it's so spammy, or it's so shady.
I think, like, it can be, but I don't. Ours isn't. We have a chat, and we all.
Like, yeah, there's like my other comment pod. We speak to each other more than we speak to our own families.
It's true.
There's always somebody there, and we're always like saying, oh, which picture, this one or that one, things like that.
And
so
just checking in and saying happy Friday, even if not just because we want. I'm still in it, and I very rarely post anymore because I just can't really keep up, but I like to still
thing with them, you have to make sure people are on the same kind of posting level, because people like me, I post every day, well, 6 days a week now, really. But yeah, if you're like a weekly poster, then you're not really getting the same value back.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. I can't catch up with them and catch up with all their posts, and then I will return every comment that I get. So I don't always reply to every comment on my post, but I'll always go and comment on somebody who's commented on my post. If that makes sense.
Yes, that's really interesting.
I try to make sure that I do it kind of authentically. Like sometimes I'll go onto a profile and I'm like, I just can't think of anything to say.
Yeah.
So I don't want to put like nice pic.
Yeah.
Because that's not really serving anyone. But
yes,
I kind
exactly.
of, I'll at least try to reply to them on my own post, just to kind of acknowledge them.
That's a really good tip actually, because sometimes it can be a little bit overwhelming to reply to all the comments on a post. But actually, if you can add value to somebody else, then do. But yes, with an authentic comment, not with an emoji, because that does serve no one. The algorithm, it's worse.
Yeah, and it makes it look like you're using bots or something.
Yeah, it does.
That's what I think. Whenever I get like a nice pic smiley face, I'm like, bot.
I know, I hate it. And also, it just makes you feel a bit crap.
Yeah, it's like, especially because I go quite in depth in my captions. Mm. Like, really, there's nothing you can think to say around to this other than that.
And that's another good thing that we should talk about is your captions, because you do get quite in depth, and often you'll get quite vulnerable and ask questions. How did that come about for somebody who didn't even want to show their previous blogs to anyone?
I think it is that kind of safety blanket of being behind another name. Yeah. Certainly it was at first, but I think really it's having found my tribe. Like, there's nobody on Instagram that I feel like, oh, I don't want to share this with these people. And I forget that people who know me in real life also see them, and then they comment on it, and I'm like, oh, God.
I know, sometimes I get that too.
I forget that you can see this. it's just that I feel like I know my followers really well, or kind of I have a feeling about them, and that they're like a force for good. So I don't feel bad sharing things with them. And I'm more of a writer than a photographer, so I find the words come more easily.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I mean, not that I think that I would be surprised.
Writing's awful.
I'm more surprised that you say you're more of a writer than a photographer. No, this doesn't sound right. It's not at all sounding like how I mean it. What I mean is that you take really beautiful pictures, and I always thought that probably came as naturally to you as the writing did.
Yeah, that's something that I had to work on quite a lot. Mm. And it's actually been quite a surprise to me how good I am at it.
Mm.
But it is something that I have to work on, and my camera roll is full of rejected photos. So every picture I post, there must be like 25 rejects. So it takes me quite a long time to do that. And but the words just flow from that, really. And in Twitter chats and stuff, you see people who are like, well, when I write a blog post, I always start with the pictures. I'm like, God, no.
No.
The pictures are just random ones. I'm like, yes.
Not always, but unless it's a travel piece, they're often just completely unrelated.
Yeah,
just,
mine not
I like
always.
This picture. Fine. Yeah. Shoving it in.
But I did one post where they were related, but only because it was about like creative prompts. So I put in some of my weekend hashtag project photos in there. But yeah, that was just by sheer coincidence.
That also takes us on quite nicely to your kind of blog transition, and also how you've gone from kind of 0 to 60 in terms of, you were in a full, this time last year, in fact this time last
time
month,
month.
You were in a full-time job as well as having your blog on the side, and now you're 100% freelance. I think when we first connected, I knew you wanted to go freelance, and that was a few months ago. But now you're 100% freelance.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do that, and how scary was it?
So in January, during the goal setting process, I think everybody does every January, I wrote down that I wanted to leave my job within 18 months, and then I left my job within 6. Wow. So that was good. I mean, I do have some privilege where I've got a lovely boyfriend who can support me financially at the beginning.
Yeah.
And also we moved to Wales, where it's like
a lot cheaper.
Yeah, it costs no money to live here. if we'd stayed living where we were living, then I couldn't have gone full-time freelance.
Yeah.
But having said that, if I hadn't put the work into going freelance that I had, I still couldn't have done it. Even we couldn't have moved because I would have just been, had nothing to do. I've forgotten the question, sorry.
I was just asking about how you did it.
My process, I feel like I've been kind of winging it a bit. Like I've kind of come
That's
up with
okay. That's a process.
Yeah, it's a process. No, I've just been kind of been like, I didn't set goals until last week because I couldn't think of like monetary goals or anything. I was too far away from it, so I kind of just started with the idea. So the idea was all about creative business and marketing coaching for sort of creative business owners, really. And so that was the idea. And I thought that would start out as just doing freelancing, because what I wanted to do was to help people who have a creative business, but they don't really know how to market it. It all feels very icky.
Yeah.
And I was a marketing manager in my previous job. So I was like, well, I can help here. So I thought that would just be freelance marketing services. But over the time it's taken, and I had a 3-month notice period, so I had a long time to think about it. I kind of realized, and especially because I was starting my own business, that you don't start a business because you want to get other people in to do the work. You want to have it all as your little baby and kind of look after it all. So that's why I landed on coaching as a way to help people kind of achieve that and help them upskill in the things that they don't know how to do yet. So I just kind of worked really hard at making that idea the best it could be, and I started transitioning my content on the blog. So since about April, it's been mainly marketing stuff on there, but also kind of quite cerebral ideas about creativity and stuff. I need to do some more search focused keyword based posts.
I actually think you're a really good example of transitioning without, like, quite seamlessly, because the posts that you've been doing feel very much within your niche and they don't feel out of place. It doesn't feel like, oh, okay, I'm talking about blogging.
Because
you've done it in a really clever way, so don't change.
That was definitely by accident. I was doing it in a clever way. But I think I wanted to stay, because that's kind of also my marketing ethos, is there's a lot of stuff out there that's not shady, but it's just a bit ugh. And I wanted it to be really simple. There's definitely all the blogs and stuff you can read about marketing make it sound really, really complicated. And that's because the people who wrote those blogs want you to buy their services.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing complicated about it when you strip it down to its bare bones. So that was kind of, that's sort of my ethos and how I kind of coach people and talk about it. So it does fit with simple and season, is that it's a kind of a very wholesome, simple approach to it. But yeah, I don't want to lose the lifestyle stuff, but I'm kind of toying with how to bring that back in, especially because it's a lifestyle blog thing, and my lifestyle is just work, so that's what I've got to struggle. So I need to, like, cook some scones or something.
You never need an excuse to cook some scones. What would be, as a marketing expert and somebody who coaches small businesses and creatives and etc., what would be your biggest piece of advice when you want to sell but you don't want to be icky?
It's all about knowing your audience. That's what it comes back to every time, and you have to there's a lot of stuff in blogging like, you just have to blog for you and blah, blah, blah. No, if you want to sell, like, it does not matter what you think. You could absolutely hate it. As long as your target audience and your target customer loves it, that's all that matters. So you have to do your audience research really well. And that doesn't need to be as complicated as you think. It's just a case of asking a question in the Instagram caption, or if you've got an email list already, asking a question in there, or sending a survey out or something. And that really helps you generate content ideas. So I must have posted about 5 posts so far, and I've got kind of 3 lined up to go, which I got because I asked a question in an Instagram caption, mm-hmm. and then the answers I got were really great ideas, and that comes straight from my audience. That's what they want to read, so I'm going to write it for them.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I've heard that tip a couple of times, and it never really occurred to me, which is really silly because it's really obvious actually. But if someone answers a question or asks a question on your Instagram or your Twitter or anything, or your blog or comments, you can turn that into a blog post, because that is literally your audience saying, I need to read this, and I haven't read it anywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. Questions are content.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah. That's a brilliant soundbite. Questions are content. So what's next for you? What are you looking ahead to this year?
Yeah, so I launched all my coaching packages last week. So yay! So now it's kind of like, oh. No, but I was quite happy. I wrote my newsletter, went out on Saturday, and I wrote in there like, I just feel so kind of at peace with everything because I know I've done everything I could have done. Yeah. My content's been really good. I've been present on social media. I've been listening to my audience. I spoke at Blogtacular. So my confidence levels are really high. Yeah. I feel really kind of empowered. And I just kind of feel like I need the universe is just going to pay me back now. Yes. I've done all the hard work. It's time for the universe to pay me back. So yeah, I'm feeling totally fine about that.
Good.
So they're all live on my website. I've also got some freelance marketing services as well that I haven't pushed as much, but I'm probably going to focus those kind of in the local area because, I'm in Snowdonia National Park, if nobody else knows, kind of at the end of it. And as you can imagine, there's lots of sort of lovely potters and creative businesses up here that don't do anything to market themselves. They might have a Facebook page, but that's it. So, and I go into like the local craft shop, and there's this woman with these amazing, like the most Instagrammable scarves you can imagine. I'm just not even on Instagram. I'm like, what?
That's crazy.
Have people not on Instagram? So yeah, that's kind of where I'm focusing those. And yeah, so the coaching is my focus for the rest of the year. Mm-hmm. And then with a view to starting courses next year. And now I've said it, so now.
You're accountable now. We're going to hold you accountable.
Yeah. I think that's been my key this year, is that I said in a Twitter chat that I wanted to leave my job.
Yeah.
That kind of made me do it. This is something I mean to look into, is about manifesting things, because this year I've just completely... It's quite woo-woo, and I'm not really a woo-woo person, but that really, I was like, I have definitely manifested this for myself. Yeah.
No, I'm with you on that. I'm not massively woo-woo, but I do believe in the universe kind of putting something out there in the universe, bringing it back to you. But it's not a case of, you know, writing it down, I want this, this, and this, and then the universe is like, okay, you can have a pony. It's more about practical steps, like, saying, hey, I'm going to do this in a Twitter chat, or getting super vulnerable on your Instagram caption and saying, I think I want to leave my job or whatever.
Yeah.
I do believe that manifests abundance and I agree. So woo-woo it may be, but I agree with it. Where can everybody find you online?
So I'm simpleandseason.com. for the blog, and then on Instagram I'm at Simple and Season, and then on Twitter, because of their stupid character limit, I'm Simple_Season. Just mess everything up. And I am on Pinterest, but I've only literally yesterday started putting Pinterest images up, so you can find me on Pinterest, but there's not a lot on there at the moment. But...
And you're Simple and Season on Pinterest, are you?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I'll link to it all in the show notes, and you can find Kate's blog coaching packages in the show notes.
Thanks for listening to What She Said. And if you like this episode or any of the other episodes, please think about giving me a lovely rating on iTunes. I really appreciate it. If you want to connect with me, head over to my blog, wanderloose.com, or hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest, where I'm at wanderlooseblog.